Let us pray. God of love, as we wait in the darkness, speak to us, comfort us, make gentle what is rough in our lives. Grant us your promise and direct us in living out your good news. We pray in the spirit and company of Christ, who is here and who is coming. A reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, whose arm is strong, who brings blessing, who restores what is right. She will feed her flock like a shepherd. She will gather the lambs in her arms and carry them in her bosom, and gently lead the mother asleep. The word of life.
By the way, the power feeding to the church keeps going on and off. That's why the lights keep going on and off. The sound system will probably pop and go on and off. Do not be afraid. These things will happen, as Jesus said. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the first chapter. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, behold, I am sending a messenger before you to prepare a way. A voice crying out, in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Make a straight path for God. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin. And all the people from around the Judean countryside and everybody from Jerusalem was coming out to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, the one who is mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It always strikes us as kind of odd and sometimes even a little harsh as we're getting ready for Christmas to suddenly start hearing about John the Baptist preaching repentance out in the desert. We want the angels. We want the wise men. It's so much preferable for us. The words of Isaiah, comfort. Comfort my people, speak tenderly. We'd much rather have that than John the Baptist telling us we have to repent. But you know what? Isaiah and his word of comfort is not speaking to us. We're already comfortable. We have struggles. We have worries, and some of them are serious. We have pain that's not easy to deal with. We have health concerns that really have us worried. We grieve the loss of loved ones. We worry about people who are important to us, whose lives are very difficult. There are relationships that are broken. Those are serious things. But we're okay. Nobody's shooting us. We're not homeless. We're not dying by the hundreds because of a lack of healthcare infrastructure. The people who know that stuff, those are the people Isaiah is talking to. He's talking to undocumented immigrants who are in this country because they're fleeing for their lives from drug lords and warlords and gang warfare and death squads. Some of them 13 years old in this country with nobody else. They need to hear Isaiah's word, "Comfort my people." Isaiah's talking to homeless people who have looked and searched for a long time and finally found a shelter, and then it got shut down because they condemned a bridge, and now they're out on the street again with nowhere to go. They're the ones that Isaiah is talking about. "Speak tenderly to my people." Isaiah is talking to the black people in this country who have seen their young men get shot and strangled and beaten to death in the streets, most of the time by police. And it keeps happening. The Michael Browns and the Eric Camdens and the Trayvon Martins and the Rodney Kings. For God's sake, this has been going on since the lynchings 200 years ago. And it's not getting better. Those are the people that Isaiah is talking to. "You have suffered enough." Now, it's not that the world is a terrible place. There's a lot of good stuff happening. But when we think seriously about the poverty and the racism and the pollution and the destruction of the earth and on and on and on, you know that we're seriously messed up. Something has got to change. I don't think there's anybody who would disagree with that. Something's got to change. That's all John the Baptist is saying. God has come to change the world. Not just tweak and fiddle here and there, but to really change things. That's that yearning that we heard about as Maggie lit those candles. We are awaiting a new heaven and a new earth. God is coming to change the world, and you're a part of that. So how are you going to change? That's all John the Baptist is saying. When you think of those comforting words of Isaiah, he talks about preparing this way for God. Isaiah is in Babylon. Good 5 centuries before Jesus, the Babylonians came and conquered Judah. They destroyed Jerusalem and they deported a bunch of people off to Babylon, where they lived for the rest of their lives. They had children and their children lived there for their whole lives. It had been 70 years and they were beginning to despair that they would ever get to go back to their homeland. Those were the people to whom Isaiah said, "Prepare a way through the wilderness." That was a way home. That was very cool. But think of what it's like if you've lived in Babylon for 2 generations. That road left town. That was a road out into the wilderness. They'd never been to Jerusalem. They'd never seen it. They had no idea what it looked like. They didn't know the way. They'd never been there. All they had was this promise. Sometimes the promise of God that comes to us in Advent is a promise that we have to get up and go to find. The Christmas story is full of these mysterious journeys Joseph and Mary journeying to Bethlehem is the easiest. And that one wasn't hard. I mean, it wasn't easy. And they didn't know that they were going to have a place to stay. And in fact, they didn't. Shepherds hear this word from the angels and they got to go to Bethlehem. They don't really know what they're looking for. They're just looking for a baby. Wise men are traveling from another country, maybe for a couple of years. They don't know what they're looking for. They're just following a star. They don't know. They just go. I wonder if this Christmas, something might happen that's the way Christmas is supposed to be. God is coming to change the world. And the Christmas story is the story about how that got started. And God says, I'm coming to change the world. You don't think you're just going to sit there, do you? Uh-uh. You are part of that change. I wonder how you're going to change. I wonder what journeys you're going to be invited to go on. What promises? The hard thing is, we don't know our destination. We don't know the way. All we have is this promise. Legend has it that runaway slaves would sing this song about follow the drinking gourd. It's not about a hollowed out vegetable with water in it. The drinking gourd was the Big Dipper, the North Star, the way to freedom. There's this one little star. Just follow it. I don't know where you're going. Just follow it. Today, as always, in Advent, I'm wearing the necktie of one of my favorite Advent characters, one of my favorite Christmas people. It's not Joseph or Mary. It's the Grinch. The Grinch is what Christmas is all about. Everybody says, oh, the Grinch was a terrible guy. He wasn't bad, it's just that his heart was too small. And what happened to him? He was up on the top of Mount Crumpet, about ready to take that whole sleigh full of all the whole stuff and dump it. And then he heard this caroling down in Whoville, and it changed him. He changed. When John the Baptist says to repent, his star pupil is the Grinch. The Grinch repented. That's what it's all about. In what way will God change you this Christmas? Maybe Christmas isn't supposed to be one of those holidays that just comes and goes. We bake the cookies, we put up the decorations, we tell the story, we eat the cookies, we take down the decorations, and we go right on as if nothing ever happened. What if Christmas is supposed to be different? What if it's supposed to change you? Like getting married or having kids or going off to college. Something that, whoa, you're never the same after that. What if this Christmas you're being invited on a new journey that you've never seen before? It might be something huge, it might be something small. Maybe there will be a way in the change in your life that affects the racism or the poverty or the war or the violence or the destruction of the earth and the world. Maybe it just affects one person and the joy in their lives. I don't know that. Maybe the new journey that God is inviting you on is a matter of healing or courage or forgiveness or wisdom. Maybe it's a new practice, a new awareness, a new attitude. But if you listen, I bet you might hear the voice of a promise that calls you into something new. You have no idea where it's going. But it's calling. It's preparing a way. And you got to get up and go. It's a little scary. We don't like change because we feel a little powerless and out of sorts. There's grief involved in letting go of what we hung on to for so long. There's fear that we don't know what's coming next. But you know what? When we're feeling grief and fear and powerlessness, that's the people that Isaiah is talking to. Now we can hear his word, comfort ye. comfort my people. A way has already been prepared for me. The Grinch didn't have to grow his heart three sizes. It came to him as a gift. It happened. The road is already prepared. All we have to do is go on it. But first, we have to do what the Grinch did. And stop. And listen. And hear that voice that calls us into the unknown. Sit in the darkness and the unknown places in our lives and let our eyes get accustomed to the dark till we can see that star and follow it. When you hear that voice, go. Don't be afraid. The way has already been prepared. Will you pray with me? God, we open our hearts to hear your word. We listen for angels, for prophets, for little murmurs in our hearts. Lead us into the unknown with grace and hope. God of love, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your constant companionship. We thank you for your love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love. Live in harmony with your grace. Amen.